our Bibles and make our declaration before we say this is life.
This is life.
I will honor it today.
I will honor it.
As this word
brings life
to my spirit.
Amen.
I was talking to somebody a while back, and they was telling me, they said, you know, we're just looking for a church. And I said, okay. I mean, there's a lot of people looking for churches. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, everywhere I go, you don't know how many, I don't know how they find out I'm a pastor, but they find out, and they'll tell me they're looking for a church. And, you know, and one lady told me this, and it touched my heart, was that they're looking for a church, but they're looking for a pastor that cares. That touched my heart. That touched my heart. It was like, Lord, help me to be a pastor, my wife and I, Jalay, that cares about the people above anything else, their souls. See, that's what people are looking for. They're looking for a church, a pastor that will care for their soul, that will preach to them and tell them what needs to be heard. Well, Andrew, is there any update on the thing that we prayed with you about last week? I know we've been praying with Andrew, and I know we've been praying about him going into the prison ministry and preaching the gospel in the sheriff's office. So we need to continue to pray for that.
Amen.
You know, we don't give up. We're holding on to the altar. You see, the devil, look. The enemy doesn't mind religion. He doesn't mind religion. That's okay. That falls in line with what he wants. What he minds is a man or a woman or a child that will stand up and proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord." That shakes him in his shoes, and he doesn't want that. He knows when a man gets up to preach, or a woman gets up to preach, or a child preaches, or we talk to somebody about it, he can't stand that. He can't stand when we get up and we say, "Thus saith the Lord," the power of Almighty God that comes forth out of the mouth of an individual. And you see, the devil doesn't want a man full of the power of God, called by God, anointed by God, to enter in that jail. Because he knows that his power is broken by the power of Almighty God. He doesn't want salvation to come to them. He doesn't want them to be released and let the power of God move upon their lives. What he wants is to keep people in captivity.
Yeah.
It says this in John 10:10. We know the scripture. For the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God comes to give life, and to give life what? More abundantly or overflowing. That's the kind of God we serve. So anytime you're out there, don't be scared to share the gospel, people. I'm not saying it's easy at times. Sometimes it gets a little hard. But don't be afraid to stand up and share the gospel with people. Don't be afraid to call upon the name of the Lord. Don't be afraid to say Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Stand up for the things of God. And let me tell you, God will be with you as you stand up.
Yes.
There's nothing that's impossible with God. You know, when God mentions a scripture in his word, it's important. That's important. When God has a scripture in there, anything in the Word of God that's upon your life or what you have or your phone, whatever, that's important.
Yeah.
It is. But if God mentions that scripture twice, does that make it doubly important? God bless you. Does that mean he's trying to get a point across? Well, let me ask you something else. What if God mentions it again three times? What does that mean? That means, buddy, children, get it. Get it. When you, You know, when you're growing up and your mom or your dad called your name and you didn't listen, then they called your first and your middle name and you didn't listen, then they finally called your first, your middle, and your last, and you better get up and get to them because you knew something was coming towards you that wasn't too good. That's how important it was. They needed to tell you something or give you direction or give you something. But God, in His Word, mentions basically the same thing in three scriptures. In Mark chapter 10, verse 27, it says, "And Jesus, looking upon them, said, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Okay? Look at Matthew 19, 26. This is the second time. Matthew 19, 26. Look at this. "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, with God all things are possible." Number two. Look at another one. Mark 9, 23. Jesus said unto them, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." That's the same thing. Three times we see a scripture that is basically the same thing over and over. What God is trying to tell his people is what? With him, all things are possible that believeth. With him, all things are possible. The things that we're believing God for, the people that we're believing God for to get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, God says, hang on, it's coming. Hang on, it's coming. You know why? Because we're believing what God wants. You see, sometimes we get in the era of believing God for something that He does not want for us. That we got to stay away from. And we've all done that before. But this is the deal. We got to get in a place where we believe God for what He wants us to do, what He wants us to act, how He wants us to believe. When we get in the vein of what God wants, we know as we pray, it moves the mountains. It moves situations upon the earth. The power of Almighty God is leached out upon us. The power and the presence of God that falls from heaven above comes down to this earth to do what needs to be done. And let me tell you, we probably all have people in our families that we know if God doesn't move, it's not going to happen. If God doesn't change a situation, it's not going to happen. If Almighty God doesn't speak forth a word to that problem, it won't go away. But we have a God that's in control, and He says, all things are possible unto him who believes. If we get in the same vein that God is expecting and us to believe for, we have to position ourselves. Sometimes the modern church wants to do this. Tell God, position yourself with us. Oh no, that doesn't happen. We have to position ourselves with him. You know, in order to get to that door right there from this place, I have to walk down this aisle. That's just like God. In order to get things done or to get God to move in certain situations, I have to believe God for what He says it's for me. Okay, Lord. And when we get in that vein of believing God, what He has already said and done for each one of our lives, when we know we're praying and doing what God wants, and when we're praying and doing what God wants, God moves. Even though we might not see the situation change today or tomorrow or even next month or even next year, we know we're still praying what God wants. That's why every Sunday we pray for the salvation of our families. And we know we've seen things happen. The power of God is moving, 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 people. We may not be able to see it so much with our eyes, but buddy, we believe by faith that the power of God is moving upon them and changing their lives, and they're calling upon God. You see, the mess we're in the world or in our nation is because of the church, people. It's the church's fault. We have not done what God said to do. We have not paid the price of praying and seeking God like we need to. We need another great revival. God says in the last days that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. My God. And I know we've seen many things happen. We've seen many miracles happen. The power of Almighty God moving upon situations in the last days. But also we know it says in the last days that evil will rise up. And we're seeing that. The evil rise up. But also we need to remember God said he would pour out his spirit as he spoke to the prophet Joel. That he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Upon all flesh upon the earth. We need a touch from God like never before. Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing's impossible with God. Come on, people. Nothing's impossible with God. All we got to do is believe and stand firm on the things of God. And God will answer according to his will what needs to be done in that situation. Almighty God moving upon that situation. I want you to turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 9, please. Mark chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Mark chapter 9. Look at starting with verse 14. It says, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto you my son, which has a dumb spirit. This is a demonic spirit, people. And whatsoever he takes him, he tears him, and he foams, and he gnashes with his teeth, and pines away. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And this is Jesus saying this. And they brought him unto him. And when he, talking about the demon spirit, saw him, talking about Jesus, straightway, immediately, the spirit, that demon spirit, tore him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he, Jesus, asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes, it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That's a humble man, huh? I guess, you know, if you see your child going through some horrible things like that, where this demonic thing would tear him up on the inside, would make him fall to the ground and he'd foam in the mouth and try to, and this demon spirit tried to kill this boy. This boy. And Jesus, it says that they went to the disciples and the disciples couldn't help him. So they went to Jesus. And the Father said, have compassion on us. Help us. Do you think Jesus could have walked away from this man? I don't think so. From reading the verses of who Jesus is and how compassionate and how mercy our God is, there's no way, as this man said, Jesus, please have mercy. Please have mercy and compassion upon us. Help. How many times have we been in places where we didn't know where to turn? I mean, I tell you, I've been in places, didn't know where to turn. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't know where to go, Father. Lord, I need some help. And the Father always comes through. He gives you a little bit of hope. It seems like a little light comes on. A little light may not be that bright, but a little light comes on. And it seems as days go by, as months go by, years go by, it gets brighter and brighter. He gives you a little bit of hope when there's despair. Because he has compassion upon you. You know, our Father is moved with compassion upon his children. You know the famous verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not die but have everlasting life," or death. The power of Almighty God, the compassion that comes forth out of him towards us. How many times have we thought about just walking away from God and saying, "Lord, I don't know how to do it anymore, Lord." And as we start to walk away a little bit, God puts up a wall. And we have to turn and go back to him. That's the mercy of God. The help of God. That he is so merciful and compassionate towards us that he will do whatever it takes to help us. Look at this. When he finished reading these verses. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "You dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand. Look at this. Lifted him up and he arose. My God, what a God we serve. Here we see a man that comes to God, to Jesus, saying, "Just help me, Lord." And Jesus, in his compassion, turns to this family, turns to this man, turns to that boy that he's seeing on the ground, knowing what it is that is tormenting him. Jesus knowing that in a minute, not much longer, that he would die upon the cross, Jesus, to defeat all the enemy and to let them know. And Jesus cast out that spirit from him. The power of Almighty God. All things are possible. All things are possible with our God. And then it says that he, Jesus, having compassion upon him, went down to the ground and lifted up that little boy. It doesn't say in scripture, so this is me, okay? I always tell you that. It doesn't say it clearly, it's me. I think he lifted him up and he took him in. Say, "You're mine. You're mine. And nothing can mess with you." That's our Father towards us. That he takes us and has compassion for us and hugs us when we need that hug. It says, "I'm your Father." You know, the scripture says that Jesus sticks closer than a brother to the sufferers. That he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's the kind of God we serve. All things are possible with God. Now I want you to turn to Kings. Get the scripture. 2 Kings chapter 6. Someone kind of mentioned this in Bible study last night, and I thought, "Oh, okay. I mean, I'm talking about this a little bit, but that's okay." 2 Kings chapter 6. All things are possible according to the will of the Father. Now, look at verse 1. It says, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha. Now remember, Elisha was what? A prophet. Elisha was a prophet. But it says the sons of the prophets. Now, they from what we can gather here, there was a school of the prophets. They had an actual school that they had prophets that went there to learn certain things. Behold, now the place where we dwell with you is too strait for us. That means the place that they were dwelling, where they were meeting, was too small. So they needed to build a bigger building. Let us go, we pray you, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place where there where we may dwell. Now that what they were talking about, they were all going to go and cut down basically a tree, a beam. So they'd bring it back. You know, they couldn't go to a low lumber or whatever and buy whatever. That wasn't the case. Steins, lows, all that stuff. They had to go and cut it down. So they all go and cut down some trees, bring it back so that they could make the larger facility that they needed. So these were just the school of the prophets, people that were students at that school. But they invited Elisha to come along. Praise God. So Elisha the prophet just said, well, I'm going to tag along. Okay, you want me to go with you? And he, Elisha, answered, go you. And one said, be content, I pray you, and go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. And so he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, the river Jordan, they cut down the wood. But as one was felling a beam, that means cutting down the tree, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Now you have to remember, that was a very, at that time, to have that axe, it was almost a priceless thing, you know. It cost a lot of money. So here we see, remember, all things are possible with God, okay? All things are possible according to the will of the Father. We got to make sure it's according to His will for our lives and for what we're praying about. Here we see all these prophets. It doesn't say how many students were going to the river where Jordan there, by that area. They had a lot of trees to be cut. They were going to cut them down, at least each one for sure, from Scripture, bring it back to the place where they needed it to build the building that they needed. Okay? We got that settled? All right. They all had axes to be able to cut down the trees. They didn't have the electric stuff there. So it was going to take a while to cut all this down. So one had borrowed an axe. And so he starts to cut it down the tree. And as he's cutting the tree down, it says that the axe head fell into the water. Okay, fell into the water. Well, that was a lot of money that he'd have to pay for this axe head. But look what God can do. And the man of God said, the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in hither. And the iron did swim. Therefore he said, take it up for you. And he put out his hand and took it. Now look, I know I ran over that quickly. Let's get the gist of this stuff. This is your God doing something here. You just talked about how God healed a demonic little boy. Jesus came in, snatched him from the enemy. See, that's what's going to happen to your family and friends. The almighty power of God's going to come in and snatch them away from the enemy. As you believe in God, He's going to snatch them away from the enemy. But here we see Elisha, the power of God, a prophet of God, full of the Spirit of God. You're full of the Spirit of God, too. The power of Almighty God, because God lives in you. In you. In you. It says that that axe head fell into the water. We know it's made of stone. Heavy. Fell into that water all the way down to the bottom. Here this boy that goes to the school starts, oh my Lord, almost crying. Lord, okay, what are we going to do? I borrowed this thing. It's a lot of money. I don't have it. And Elisha comes on the scene. What's going on right here? So he tells him the story. And Elisha says, the Spirit of God spoke to him. He said, take a stick. And he threw it in the water. I know we kind of look and say, Lord. And just because it happened then doesn't mean it'll happen today. Okay? But he took that stick where the God pointed out that the axe head had fallen, and he took the stick and he threw it. Hope my glasses are okay. And all of a sudden, now, this is the power of God. This axe head floats to the top. You know that's impossible. It's impossible. Say yes. That's impossible. That does not happen with the things upon the earth. That thing sinks to the ground like it should, and it stays there unless a man or somebody goes in that water and grabs it and brings it back up. But that stick was thrown into that water, and it rose up. That stick represented, as you can see in the comments in the Bible, that stick represented the cross of Calvary. Ooh. Remember, at the cross of Calvary, all victories won. When Elisha threw that stick, commanded by the power of God, it wasn't Elisha on the line. It was God on the line. And when he obeyed God, God moves, people. When we obey the Spirit of God, when we open that word and we look at it and we obey God in how he talks about finances, when we obey him, the blessings of God come upon us. When we obey him in giving like he says to give, in praying with people and sharing the gospel, when we do those things, the power of Almighty God comes into our lives and changes that situation around. Elisha didn't know what was going to happen. You say, well, Elisha's a prophet. Yes. But God told him, throw the stick where the man said it went down. And when we obey, the axe head came up. When we obey his word, when we obey the things he speaks to us, the power of Almighty God comes into our hearts and comes into our lives and changes situations. When we put the cross of Calvary at every situation. As you see, when he threw that, you might say, well, Jesus didn't die yet. It was done by faith. And doesn't faith please God?
Amen.
Doesn't faith move mountains? Doesn't faith help us to look to God? Doesn't faith help us to keep fastened upon God? Faith in our God. That axe head came up. Oh my God. Can you imagine what it did to all the other students? And even to Elisha. And he took that axe head, put it back on the man. Saved by God. Let me tell you, we serve a God that there's nothing that he can. We got to get in tune with him, not he with us. We got to pray and seek God. We got to look to his word and consume it. We got to do everything we can to grow in the knowledge of Christ because God is willing to move. We know this. Our God's coming back. And we know this at this time, old Slewfoot's running around all over the earth and he's doing all his evil. But I tell you what, we're a light. We're a light in the kingdom of God. And the light will overtake the darkness one day. It says in Revelation chapter 20, it talks about how the enemy will be in captivity for 1,000 years. Yeah, thank you. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. Oh my God. And he laid hold on the dragon. Who's the dragon? Old Slewfoot. That's him. That old serpent, okay, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. That's during the millennial age. 1,000 years where the devil will be bound. And he will not be able to do anything. The power of God will move like praise upon this earth. people, I want you to believe God for the impossible. The things that God puts upon your heart that line up with the Word of God. And don't be swayed by people. Don't be swayed by circumstances. Don't be swayed by any of those things. But be swayed by the power of God and the anointing of God. Can you imagine that Acts hand command? Can you imagine, and there's many stories in the Bible, can you imagine that little boy that the disciples couldn't cast out the demon? Jesus, in one word, cast it out. That's the power of our God. There's no other God like our God. No other. No one comes close. Buddha doesn't come close. Muhammad doesn't come close. None of those little gods come close to Almighty God, the Father. Almighty God, Jesus Christ. Almighty God, God the Holy Spirit. No one comes close to Him. My God. God has more power in the little pinky finger of His at the tip than old Slewfoot has in his whole body. Remember, Slewfoot was made by God. Not to be evil, but He chose to do evil. Our God is in control, no matter what. Let God be God in your life this week. Look for impossible situations where God can come in and change you by the power of Almighty God. Would you please stand? Jesus, Jesus. I want to ask you, as every head is bowed for just a minute, please. I want to ask everybody a question, and also all those that are watching by Facebook. I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life? Have you accepted Him? You might say, Pastor, I don't know if I did so or not, or whatever. But if you'd like to do so today, would you please raise your hand? Just check to make sure. If you're saying, I'd like to give my life to the Lord this day, would you please raise your hand? I want to ask you another important question. Maybe you've gone away from the Lord a little bit, and you need to rededicate your heart and life to Him this morning. Would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? Amen. 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 Let's all pray this prayer together. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe that you died on the cross, and you rose again from the dead. I accept you as my God,
my Lord,
and my Savior.
I will live for you
from this day forward.
In
Jesus' name we pray.
Name.
And would you look this way, please? I just want to tell you, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you guys. We love you, and you're the greatest. We love you guys, and we pray you have a great week this week. And if one of you would come and pray.
Father, I want to thank you for this service today, Lord. Thank you for feeding us the meat of the word today, Lord. We lift you up on high. I lift up this church body to you as we go down the highways and by